Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
It's a sunny Saturday afternoon, and I'm Robin, almost live from a very long 14-hour job site, and on the other side of the microphone is Cliff. Good morning, afternoon, evening, Cliff.
Believe it or not, we actually have a beautiful sunshiny day here to do as well. I wasn't expecting it to be, but really nice. I don't know if it's warm out there or not, but because I haven't opened the doors or windows or anything to find out, and it's not warm in here.
Well, in the main studio here in Eugene, it's getting a little warm. But so to those who are true Oregonians, do not fret. There's rain in the near forecast.
No matter what the forecast, there'll be rain sooner or later.
Yeah, that's right. That's one thing you can always count about Eugene, a.k.a. the city of Atlantis, is that there'll always be rain most of the time.
City of Atlantis?
Oh, yeah, it's always wet.
Okay. I'm never too sure what City of Atlantis means, so I guess it could mean anything.
Well, anyways, I'm biting at the bit this morning, and I'm anxious to jump right in here and do it. But before I do, because I know that, I think Cliff feels the same way I do about our topic today, and I know once we get started, we're just going to get right into it, and then we'll forget about other business that we have to do. First thing I want to do, though, is invite you to give us a call right now. Do it now. Pick up your phone and push those buttons. Cliff, what button should they push?
A 646. I wish I had a telephone here with something that makes us beeps. 646-721-9887. 721-9887. All together, folks.
646-721-9887. I got it. I'm going to call right. Wait a minute. I am on the air.
That's easy to remember.
Easy to do.
Actually, it's not easy to remember at all, but whatever. talk@krbnradio.com.
That's true. And we have the chat room open right now, blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. And if you are one of the literally thousands of people that listen to us each week on the archives, you can still participate in the program by Hal Cliff. You didn't know there was going to be a test today.
All they have to do is email us, talk@KRBNradio.com. That's even easier to remember. That's always easy to remember.
That's right. And we do appreciate the emails and commentaries. And no, we are going to come back next week. So it's kind of like a bad headache. We'll be back next week.
Always, always. Never say die.
That's right. And as always, we invite you, if we're talking about something that you're not interested in, give us a call anyways and tell us what you're interested in, because we'll probably talk about that too, because we've always been known to change the subject and topics, because that's what we do here. That's what makes it fun.
Anything you want to talk about, we'll talk about it. Almost anything. There are a couple of things I won't talk about. I try not to talk about religion, for example. That's so personal and gets you in big trouble.
That's true. But speaking of getting in big trouble, I'm going to talk about cookies for just a moment.
No.
Dancing Dog Cookies. They are a sponsor for today's program and yesterday's program and probably tomorrow's program. Anyways, Dancing Dog Cookies, they are homemade by Tom and Kathy in Eugene, available at select stores in Eugene and online at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Good dog, Skippy.
Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Yeah, check them out. And they're also kind of, they're really neat looking too, the way they put them together in little shapes and looks like little hamburgers. And,
and I'm sure the dog really gives a damn about that.
Well, they do. They go, sniff, sniff, that looks good, and then it's gone.
I think they probably just go, sniff, sniff, that smells good, glob.
Something like that.
I mean, a dog doesn't know what a hamburger is.
Well, yeah, it does. It just doesn't know or care what it looks like.
Well, okay. By looks, a dog doesn't know what a hamburger is. Especially by looks of a cookie, doesn't know what a dog, what a hamburger represents. Anyway, I don't think he cares.
Probably not.
One way or another.
Probably not.
It could, the same cookie could be, never mind, I'm not going to say that.
That's right.
I should edit that before I even got there.
That's good. I don't want to have to use the button on my co-host.
Yeah, really.
Speaking of businesses, I got a what the heck that we can do since we haven't done that very often.
Oh, really? Okay.
You have got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
I still think it says with this week's hicks. But in any case, this week's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award goes out to a Minnesota school district who, because there were two students killed, unfortunately, in 2003, unveiled a new device, adding as a last-ditch layer of safety for teachers and students. And, Clef, can you guess what it is?
You got me. I haven't got a hint.
Okay. Are you ready for this?
I'm not sure.
All right. The Rocaille School District has acquired nearly 200 of 18-by-20-inch bulletproof whiteboards.
So you don't, what? Who cares if they shoot the whiteboard or blackboard or whatever they are?
Well, I think the idea is that, okay, here's the scenario. A crazed gunman comes into the school and starts shooting up people. The thinking is, I guess, is that your first line of defense, either duck under the desk or snatch the nearest whiteboard off the wall and hide behind it.
I can just see everybody's pulling these boards off the wall. They're big, first of all, and they don't come off easy, second of all. That's just absolutely insane.
Yeah, well, they're 18 by 20 inches in diameter, and I guess they figure it's supposed to be some type of a shield, but... Oh, no, fear! I have a whiteboard!
18 by 20.
It's not very big.
What? How many did they buy?
It's probably about 200 of them. It's probably good enough to, you know, cover the vital areas, depending on what.
Well, that's if you only have 200 students in your school.
Yeah.
I doubt that.
Well, yeah, that's a good point.
You know, that's enough whiteboards you could cover the interior of one schoolroom, one classroom.
Well, see, the way they figure, I guess, and let's see.
It just doesn't sound to me like they're much good for anything. I mean, they're not big enough to use as a blackboard, and they're just useless.
Yeah.
Hmm. Somebody. I always wish I was a salesman. I mean, I'd rather go to that school because I'd buy almost anything probably.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, they and of course they're talking about. Well, if he only had seven shells in his gun. But
I tell you, this whole business about guns is just ridiculous. If they only had seven shells, they'd just put in more. I mean, I don't know if any ball, any. Well, I do know of some guns with rifles and things like that that are only hold a certain amount, and then you have to reload. But reloading usually is just throwing it out of the cartridge and flip or bang.
Right.
It's a matter of seconds.
I'm kind of reading the comments to the article, and somebody's kind of joking about what if they had whiteboard piercing bullets.
Really? And what bullet isn't?
Yeah. Of course, unfortunately, I don't see in this article here that I'm looking at where it says how much these 200 whiteboards are.
Oh, I'm sure they're really expensive because, you know, they're supposedly something special. And they've got to have a logical reason for buying something. I can't believe, I'm hoping not to believe that the school board is that stupid.
Well, what's kind of interesting here is that, again, in the article, and this is the Huffington Post, by the way, if anybody wants to see it. I'm reading this cold, so forgive me. Police Chief Phil Jones, oh my God, somebody's name I can actually pronounce, demonstrated the whiteboards Tuesday in a school gym by leveling a karate kick at one, whacking it with a police baton, and stabbing it with a knife, which apparently had no effect.
I don't understand the use of these whiteboards. Are you supposed to, you know, if something happens, you're supposed to run and grab one and put it in front of you or something? I mean, I don't know. I'm confused.
They also double as a teaching aid.
A teaching aid?
Teaching, yes.
Teaching what?
Teaching aid, because they're whiteboards.
What are they teaching? How to be white?
No, it's a whiteboard, which replaced the blackboard, which replaced the green board.
Well, okay, maybe each kid in the school gets one. You know, like the kids used to carry their own slates to school and write on. I remember that. That was back in the...
Yeah, but you remember back in the time when people...
Careful. I'm not that much older than you. Yes, I remember back in the... I don't remember that. I saw movies about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
You owned one, a quill.
Quill. Yeah, actually, I did, but it wasn't for school.
Yes. Anyways... So, folks, this is where some of the money is going. they get this week's What the Heck Are They Thinking award. And what's kind of interesting, too, again, when you look at the Huffington Post, that there is two people proudly standing there holding two of these whiteboards, one of them showing one that has not been injured and the other one showing one where bullets have went through and went through their whiteboard without any protection at all. So... I'll have to remember that next time I head down to Walmart looking for a whiteboard to be sure whether or not it passes the National Guns Tests for stopping bullets.
You think they have them?
Probably not.
I've never heard of a school that uses whiteboards like that. I mean, it sounds to me like they're using them individually, and I've never heard of a thing like that. That's
Well, I'm thinking about...
Just by Michigan?
I'm thinking about, because especially the smug look that the guy holding the whiteboard that is undamaged has, about putting a thought bubble over his head going, suckers.
Like I say, I sometimes wish I was a salesman.
Yes.
I've often wished I could be a salesman and sell pencils, because especially if to the military, can you imagine how much money you make? Because the military goes through pencils like water.
Yeah. But anyways, so Cold Springs, Minnesota gets the What the Heck Are They Thinking award this week. Congratulations, guys.
I will make sure that I don't go to Cold Springs, Minnesota.
Yeah, I had no plans next week anyways. Anyway, 646-721-9887, and as I'm biting at the bit to get started on this, I want to throw out a big We Told You So for the people that voted for the Obamacare, and especially the ones, which is most of them, that did not read the bill.
Did anyone read the bill? I got an article here that says that even the people who wrote the bill, while they were writing the bill, didn't read all the bill. They wrote it in little bits and pieces here and there and everywhere, and nobody read the bill. Nobody ever read the entire bill. No one knows what it says.
Yeah, pretty much. And just like Nancy Pelosi says, and I could cue the audio up, but there's no point at the moment, but she basically says you need to pass the bill to know what's in it. Now, what we're talking about, folks, is the GOP and Congress, the people that have voted because they felt that, oh, my God, we have to have health care because of the children. Everybody in America needs to have health care. Yeah, well, as Nancy Pelosi says, you got to pass the bill to know what's in the bill. Now they're scrambling going, oh, my God, this is going to cost us lots of money. We don't want to be any part of that.
You got to pass the bill to know what's in the bill. That I find that absolutely terrible. I think the lady should have been fired as soon as she said that, because that's ridiculous. You're supposed to know what's in the bill before you pass the bill, because if you don't pass the bill, you're going to stuck with this crap like you've got right now.
Exactly. I mean, like we said before, or like I've said before, Everybody having health care, nobody argues the point. Health care is great. But there are examples around the world that actually work that don't bankrupt America by doing it. And by simply, like Congress's solution to this, and the president's solution to this is, well, I think everybody should have health care, so we're just going to pass a law saying everybody has to have health care.
I wish that the president had been forced to read it before he passed it.
Well, this is why, and we've argued this many times on the program, is that the 28th Amendment, where they come under the same laws that they pass, it's something that we should push and ratify, you know. Cause
that would be nice, yes, because on the same token, that would eliminate a lot of people from becoming a senator or a representative, because they'd miss all these bennies that they're getting now. Right now, they're getting a lot of benefits because they don't have to do this and they don't have to do that, and yet I saw a thing here where it says that they're supposed to be doing getting the same thing that the rest of the Americans are. In other words, if we are stuck with it, so are they. But that's not true. Right? I'm sure that's not what's happening, as much as they're trying to tell us that it is.
Yeah. In fact, speaking of rubbing salt in the wound, I got two little quick clips I want to play to kind of emphasize the point.
I love these members that get up and say, read the bill. What good is reading the bill if it's 1,000 pages and you don't have 2 days and two lawyers to find out what it means after you read the bill?
Well, John Carvers, I guess that's one of the reasons why you're up there. And that was the other thing, too, that Obama promised, is that there wasn't going to be – everything was going to be put on the web a couple of days before they voted on it, or a week or something like that before they voted on it. And they come up with these arbitrary deadlines and huge amounts of, 2,400 pages? And, of course, Nancy Pelosi, let me throw her out because I don't want her to get away with it.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it away from the fog of the controversy.
Yeah. Well, guess what?
Well, the fog of controversy is centered around her.
Yes. She's one of those lifers that need to go. Definitely. There's a lot of them up there. But as many people are starting to find out, because now here's the thing, that people hear what they want to hear a lot of times. And when it was announced that there was going to be nationwide health care, the hospitals were flooded with people that thought it meant free health care. The word free was never mentioned. In fact, even Nancy Pelosi and the cronies up there tried to term the phrase, which never took off because, you know, just like with Michelle's new hairstyle, nobody cares. We know the government's a joke anyways. Good luck, you know. they tried, Nancy Pelosi came up with this term called free riders. If you don't subscribe to Obamacare and you don't get yourself health care and you just pay the penalty, you're just a free rider. Well, that never took off. Sorry. The rest of America, the point is the rest of America does not feel the same way about Obamacare as you guys do. And especially now as they're finding out that starting in 2014 is when the penalties start coming. If you do not have, and here's the key words, qualifying health care, and you do not qualify under the guidelines of poverty, you will be taxed. And the Supreme Court did say it is a tax up to a maximum of, I believe it's $2,100 per year in penalties.
Yeah, yeah. That's, you know, it's cheaper actually to buy the health care.
Actually, no, it's cheaper to pay the penalties because health care can cost you anywhere from $500 to $800 a month depending on the size of your family.
Well, that's true because I never think in terms of a whole family. I've only got one.
Or even for yourself, it can be, you know, $300-$500 a month. That's a lot of money, especially people like me. I'm behind on my property taxes because, hey, guess what, folks? I'm poor. We're barely, you know, when you're looking at, I don't want to talk too much about my personal finances, but when you're talking like say $200 plus a month for utilities, that's a hell of a lot of money to come out of a paycheck, especially when the mean average income in Eugene here is less than $50,000 a year. And $50,000 used to be a lot of money, but it's not anymore.
Tell me about it. That's the other thing. Money just keeps getting, well, I was going to say smaller and smaller, but it keeps getting less and less. I mean, the same amount of dollars is less buying power. You got a whole lot less buying power.
Right, exactly. And, you know, more and more fees. Well, in Springfield, for example, both Eugene and Springfield are thinking about raising utility and wastewater fees. We pay almost $50 a month just in wastewater and sewer runoff.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's so upsetting to talk about something, anything, that in say 1960 or 66, 70, and you always have to preface it by saying in 1966 dollars, because there's such a huge difference between 1966 dollars and today's dollars. It's just insane to be worried about that much. It's, you know, it's four times the difference. I mean, it's amazing that the things, that means our dollars don't do much anymore. And if we look forward, you know, I think with the economy being as bad as it is, the dollar would buy more. But no, it's buying less. The more we get cut in our dollars, the less dollars we have, the more dollars people charge for things. And I don't know how they decide to do that, but it's going to have to collapse pretty soon. Something's going to happen, and we're not going to be able to even buy lunch.
Well, that's just getting to that point. Just like when fuel got up to $5 a gallon, they're blaming it on the housing bubble, you know, the recession, which the government said, oh, yeah, the recession's over with. Yeah, right, maybe in the millionaire's corner. But the rest of us, people are literally having to decide, well, we need fuel to go to work. Not everybody can take public transportation, or does it make sense? Just like, here's another example. Another thing about putting a toll bridge between Portland and Washington, Oregon and Washington, and they're saying, well, it can cost you $5 a day in tolls. Okay. Well, that's $25 a week. Assuming, of course, they're referring to $5 a day both ways, or, you know, round trip. You know, that's $25 a week. That's an extra $100 a month just to get to work.
Well, that means that if you're living in Oregon, you better start working in Oregon. And if you're living in Washington, you better start working in Washington, because it's getting real expensive not to.
Yeah, or just the commuting thing. But back to our main point, though, is why I'm throwing out the I told you so, is that some of the people that, some of the senators and whatever that backed the Obamacare are now scrambling to try and pass a little amendment to exempt themselves and their staff from being part of the of Obamacare just because of what it will cost. On the same token, too, that there are a lot of companies that are downsizing the amount of hours their employees have to get around the cost, just like there's other companies that are actually that used to provide health care are going, the law says that you have to have health care. It does not say how you get it.
Well, they're just stopping because they're just not hiring full-time people. That's we're having a whole nation of part-time workers now, which is being done by the government. It's being forced by the government because people can't the businesses can't afford to hire you full-time and pay you all these benefits because it's just too expensive. So consequently, they're going to hire you part-time. You know, I don't know, what is the part-time, 35 hours a week or something?
32 or less. But here's one of the points, and this is, again, this is from CBS News. Again, if people want to read this, and I'm going to read it cold here. It says, the rollout of the new national health care program is sure to hit some bumps in the road, but after one of the, they call it the Affordable Care Act, authors and proponents call the implementation a potential train wreck. Republicans in Congress seize the opportunity to point out that the law's shortcomings and revise their arguments for repealing it. And Senator Mark Baucus of Montana, who helped draft the health care law, used the phrase train wreck to characterize the potentially rocky implementation. It's like, if you guys would have read the frickin' bill, we wouldn't be going through all this.
Well, again, you just had to kind of pick and choose. You kind of hold your finger up and see which way the wind is blowing, and he picked the wrong way.
Well, you're right. And everything is cobbled together because if you ever just scanned it, I mean, I'll give you an example. After Obamacare passed, one of the provisions that they had to change on it, which didn't seem like much at the time, is that if you make a purchase of $600 or more, you need to send the company that you made the purchase from a 1099 form. Well, if you happen to drive a semi-truck at almost $4 plus per gallon, and each you have two tanks holding 100 gallons apiece, you're looking at about $800 of fuel at minimum. So every time you fuel up, which can literally be once or twice a week, depending on how far you go, you have to send where you bought fuel from a 1099.
I'm sure they were loving that.
Yeah, that's one of the first things that I'm aware of that got repealed, because for one thing, it was an accounting nightmare.
And well, secondly, so much of that bill is an accounting nightmare.
Yeah. And secondly, I still don't understand when you make a purchase why you have to send somebody that you purchased something from a 1099. They pay the tax on that anyways.
Well,
I never understood that. I got that when I had my business. I had the University of Oregon send me a 1099 when they brought their VCRs in to get fixed. It's like, why am I sending you a 1099? I'm not, you know, what's this all about?
Well, when it's a government entity, I sort of understand it a little more than having everyone do it, though. Not a lot, but a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't. Government things oftentimes get loaded down with paperwork, and any kind of paperwork you can come up with. There's got to be some logic behind why, but I haven't found it yet.
Well, in this case, considering they only brought me, I think it was one VCR to fix, and they sent me a 1099, and I had to forward that to my bookkeeper. It probably cost me more to have my bookkeeper deal with the 1099 than what I made on their repair.
Really?
Because because I very seldom deal with that type of thing. Well, that's neither here or there. But the whole point is that, you know, our leaders, our elite, as they're now starting to be known in the media, that you know, they're starting to get a taste of their own medicine, and I'm just, like I say, I'm just laughing my head off. But unfortunately, the sheeple won't do anything about it.
I'll throw one at you. Here you go. The federal agency charged with implementing the Affordable Care Act announced a multi-million dollar public relations contract last week to order in order to convince people to join the program and to keep it from collapsing. Enrollment in Obamacare's health insurance program is lagging behind what they think it should be, raising concerns about the viability of the exchanges. And so they're spending millions of dollars, a multi-million dollar contract, promoting the fact that the thing is there to get people to buy it and to buy into it. Well, I thought it was mandatory.
Well, it's mandatory that you have health care. It's not mandatory that you join the
theirs.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just ridiculous to spend money, good money after bad. Let's put it that way. That's the way I see it. Because we're spending multi-million dollars. It doesn't say how many multi-billions it is going to be, but to spend multi-millions of dollars to promote it. It's something that bad in the first place. It's just ridiculous. It's bad money after bad. I mean, I'm upset that we've got to spend the money in the first place. But now, they did say it's $8 million to promote the Obamacare.
Yeah, exactly.
That's I'm at a loss with that one. I'll tell you.
Well, what I'm at a loss at is like common folk like you and me, everyday people that live in the real world. Like I said earlier, you know, we have to watch our budget. I'm trying to put this in words is that to just come right out and say, which I still don't think is constitutional, to require you to purchase a product. If people could afford health care, they would have it.
Well, see, now that's where you're wrong. There's an awful lot of people who can afford it who don't, especially younger people who feel they don't think they're going to ever get sick, going to ever need it for any reason. And so if they're going to need it, it's going to, when they get older, they're going to need it then. So they don't bother to buy it now. And so many, many times people, I mean, there were lots and lots of younger people. I was one of them. And I never bothered with insurance of any kind because I knew I wasn't going to need it. I was never going to get sick. I wasn't going to need any insurance. Of course, when I did get sick and did need insurance, I didn't have insurance and I didn't have any money. So there's a drain on the society right there because I was one of those people. I knew better and I would never get sick. I would never need insurance. And then the whole heart failed. And you don't wait for that. You just do it.
Well, like you said, most young people, I don't need insurance. I'm young.
Well, that's it. And they don't bother to buy insurance. So they had to come up with something to make them buy insurance, to make them buy some sort of insurance. They didn't care what, as long as they did have some sort of insurance to take them off the rolls of being paid for by the dollar. You know, they did it the wrong way. They should have said, no, nobody needs insurance, and the government won't pay at all because they're going to end up paying it all anyway.
Well, true.
I mean, do we ever learn anything from other countries? I mean, ever learn anything from other countries? Other countries have done this and have learned that you don't make people buy it. You just make it available. And then I realize in England, Great Britain, whatever you want to call it, that some people don't like it because you don't get as many choices as you do here in the United States, and they think that that's bad. Well, it's not really that bad. You get the basic coverage and basic care, and there's a formula, I guess, somewhere that says what that basic care is going to be. But you get coverage and you get taken care of just as you do in the United States, I was going to say it doesn't cost you anything, but it does, of course, cost you anything. It has to, because they're going to be paying it somewhere in taxes or whatever, some sort of a tax, that, however you want to call it, because somebody has to pay for that. And so it's just that we're going through some sort of a thing here that we're trying to decide who pays for it and how they pay for it, and we're doing it all wrong as far as I'm concerned.
And you made a very good point, is that other countries, a lot of other countries have their own version of nationwide health care. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You just take a look at what they're doing. Use what works, and you don't use what doesn't work.
Well, that I can see as a problem too, because if you try to pick and choose little parts of each one that works, and then you're going to end up with a botched up mess, and probably that's what we got. I don't know.
Which, I mean, it's real easy to, instead of coming up and finding somebody, you know, having to hire thousands more of IRS agents who are going to be collecting the Obamacare penalties, by the way, it would be a lot easier to I hate to say a national sales tax, but that's what some other countries have is a national sales tax, but you get something directly back out of paying that tax and everybody pays into it.
Yeah, I don't know. There are other countries where it works. If we'd spend as much money on deciding what country has the best possible care that we can copy or do something similar to, I think our money would be much better spent than while we're blowing it now.
Right. Well, the whole thing is that Obamacare really starts kicking in and you start losing some of your tax refund. I mean, H&R Block, for example, starting this year, is showing people how much their penalty would be if they did not have qualifying insurance. And as I said, I have to look up the exact figures, but I do know that the 2016, when it's in full effect, the maximum penalty based on your income, but the maximum penalty is $2,100. So if you get if you do like what I do, I count on my income tax return to pay for my property taxes. Well, if I'm not working for a company, and who knows how it's going to work, that say if you're working, say, for the first 4 months out of the year, and then you lose your job, just like unemployment benefits where they look at your gross income for the year, are you still going to, you know, if you're not working, you can't afford insurance. Sorry. You're trying to put food on the table. You're trying to pay your bills. You're trying to stay above water, and shoving out $500 a month in health insurance, especially if your family's somewhat healthy, is unfortunately one of the things they're going to cut. But then you come to the end of the year, and they may go, "Well, Mr. Cliff, you don't have qualifying health insurance here, so you're going to have to pay the penalty, and you're getting a $2,000." refund. Well, I'm sorry, sir, but you owe us $100 in taxes now.
And then people don't realize that you mentioned the 2014, 20 whatever time period.
Right.
This thing is going to continue to go up and up and up. Each year it's going to cost you a little bit more. And it doesn't stop at 2014, 2016, or I believe it's 2024 or something like that. It's going to continue to rise and continue to cost you more money all that time. So be prepared. You're going to lose that money somewhere. Who knows what's about and what it's for. They'll come up with a reason. But you're going to lose a heck of a lot of money in that period of time.
Well, it's like Romney State. Was that Minnesota?
Yeah.
Okay. Even they were saying, because they have state-mandated health care, even they were saying that it's cheaper to pay the penalty than it is to have insurance. In fact, I think I have it in one of my audios here that even Obama himself, when they were in 2008, when he was going up against Hillary Clinton, made that same point.
Well, if that's the case, then why would anybody want to get it? I mean, they just let the state give it to them. And then we're right there again, like I say, we have the state controlling it and the state paying for it. And why don't we just do that in the first place?
Well, like I say, I don't know. If you can answer that question, you know, maybe they're, well.
646-721-987. give us a call if you can answer the question. I mean, it's a question I'm sure a lot of people got on their lips at the moment, because what are you going to do? I mean, we're in the middle of fighting over this whole thing. And like I said before, and I said it offline, but this is all going to go away. As soon as Obama is gone, we're going to spend all this money and all this time and spend all this effort on trying to make sense of this whole bill. And then when Obama leaves, I'm sure whoever it is that gets in that office is going to change it. They're going to probably dismantle the whole thing, or if not all of it, part of it. And just like they were talking about in the last presidential election, is as soon as he was elected, he's going to eliminate it. Well, whoever's going to do that, and I don't care whether it's Republican or Democrat, I foresee that we're going to get rid of it no matter who, and they're going to do it right fairly quickly. And so we're going to spend all this money and 3 years of trying to figure this out and trying to decide how to do it and what to do, and then it's going to go away. And that money that we've spent, that money that we've lost, that money that's been taken away from us by the government is gone for good. We don't get that back. And so that's it's really upsetting to me, because we're damned if we do and damned if we don't in this case.
Well, and of course, you're counting on that somebody's going to get in and is going to want to repeal it.
Can you imagine anyone wanting to keep it?
Yeah.
Who?
The people in government that still think that, well, it's for the children.
I don't think there's anybody there anymore that does that. I don't think anybody believes this is for anyone. It's going to cost money. It's costing a lot of time and effort. A lot. And we're spending millions of dollars just explaining it, just explaining what it says. I mean, are we stupid? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate to say that, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, anytime when we've got to spend a lot, $8 billion, just to explain what a bill says or something that's already been passed says, there's a problem there. And
well, go ahead. Then I'm
well, I just was just saying there's a problem there, and we're right in the middle of it, and we've got to do something about it. And as far as I can see, the only thing to do about it, since we've got a president who doesn't understand, as soon as we get someone else in the office, someone who has thinking power, let's put it, is what I'm going to say, they're going to change that. We're going to change that entire thing, and we're going to spend all that money and time and effort for nothing.
Yeah. In fact, speaking of, to make my point, here's that clip from the 2008 debate with Hillary Clinton.
It's been out there. Now, I have no objection to Senator Clinton thinking that her approach is superior. But the fact of the matter is that if, as we've heard tonight, we still don't know how Senator Clinton intends to enforce the mandate, and if we don't know the level of subsidies that she's going to provide, then you can have a situation, which we're seeing right now in the state of Massachusetts, where people are being fined for not having purchased health care, but choose to accept the fine because they still can't afford it, even with the subsidies. And they are then worse off. They then have no health care and are paying a fine above and beyond that. That is a genuine difference between myself and Senator Clinton. And the last point I would make is the insurance companies actually are happy to have a mandate. The insurance companies don't mind making sure that everybody has to purchase their product. That's not something they're objecting to. The question is, are we going to make sure that it is affordable for everybody? And that's my goal.
And what do we...
I have only one thing to say about that. That was a Obama... you can't believe what he says. You can't believe a word he says, especially if he's out campaigning. And that was a campaign speech. And I don't believe hardly... Probably every other word was I don't even think every other word was right. I don't believe any of it. Because he has a tendency to say things, and he doesn't care whether they're true or not, because he's the president. He can make it be true, supposedly. But he doesn't. He just says it and hopes for the best. And I just don't believe much of anything he says.
Exactly. In fact, if you go to, it's called healthcare.gov/law/timeline. It talks about some of the mandates and the way they're trying to push it. And, of course, I guess you go here to enroll as well. But no, what Obama was arguing against with Clinton is exactly what got passed.
Well, I be honest with you, I don't really pay much attention to Obama's speeches because I don't know what to call it.
He's a used car salesman.
No. Used car salesman has to have something legitimate to be talking about. And Obama can be talking about something that's way out in left field, and we don't even have the slightest idea. Yeah. And he does oftentimes. He just makes things up, I think.
Well, he reads whatever it's on the teleprompter.
Well, yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah. But the whole point is the bottom line is that it costs Americans, unless, of course, you are under the poverty level, that it is going to cost us out of pocket, you know, so much so that, you know, big companies have been scrambling to get exemptions, states have been working to get exemptions, and, you know, now the people that wrote the bill are looking to get exemptions, and if it's so great, why, you know, why would anybody care, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, it's, I don't know, it's beyond belief at this particular point that anybody would believe anything that's coming out of their mind. You can't even believe half of what Congress says at this particular point because they're sitting there. I can understand them. Everybody, there's 535 of them, if you combine the two. And I defy you to find any place where you get 535 people to agree on something.
Yeah.
And so there's going to be 535 opinions, because there may be a couple people agree, but very seldom and very few. And consequently, you get 535 opinions every day of the week. You're supposed to have one person who puts it all together and has all of the people. I mean, this guy that says you can't, if you don't have two lawyers and whatever, you can't read the bill. He does have two lawyers. He does have people at his beck and call and his disposal, and he can get people to read the law, but he can't even understand it if they explain it to him. So, consequently, we got some weird people in the... I don't know. I think some people who are in office that shouldn't be there. And he's been there way too long.
Well, there's a lot of people that shouldn't be there. And unfortunately, uninformed, that keeps putting him in there. You know, I have to refer back to the lady that was screaming in favor of the reelecting Obama in the 2012 election. You know, I'm voting for Obama because I get my free Obama phone. I ain't voting for Romney.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Romney wasn't my favorite, but I certainly heck wasn't going to make a free Obama phone make my deciding point. And what was even funny is that Obama had nothing to do with the free phone. It was a program that started even before Obama got into office, and that was part of the fees that you pay with your phone bill for low-income families.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Obama can get up there and explain it, and then all of a sudden he owns it.
Yeah, well, he didn't. As far as I know, Obama never even addressed the free Obama phone thing.
Well, there are some people that, well,
yeah.
Who knows?
He had nothing to do with it, but...
But these things, Medicaid or subsidies or whatever, a part of all of this is going to continue to rise and continue to rise and continue to rise. And it goes up a little bit at a time. I mean, one time it'll go up 1%, the next time it goes up 2%, the next time it goes up 2.5% in 2016. Yeah, that's 2016.
I found some of the information here. Okay, starting in 2014, most people will have to have insurance or pay a penalty deducted from your taxable income. For individuals, the penalty starts at $95 a year, or 1% of your income, whichever is greater, and rises to $695, or 2.5% of your income, by 2016. For families, the tax will be $2,085, or 2.5% of the household income, whichever is greater. The requirement can be waived for several reasons, including financial hardship or religious beliefs. This tax should not exceed 8% of your income. You exempt or some religious groups or whatever, and it gets down to the more nitty-gritty. So basically, as it says up in here, you can 2.5% of your income or $2,085, which I think is basically the bottom line here. It's just a way to people that have been getting tax refunds, it's a way to just steal their refund altogether.
Well, there's an awful lot of people who don't get that much of a refund.
That's right, depending on your income.
So then they're going to be charging you for it. So they're not going to do this at tax refund time. They're going to do it during the time, during the year, so they can get it, be sure and get their money.
Yeah.
So that's the way they do. The government does this. They get their money first, and then they refund the difference. That's the whole way of, you know, that. I can remember way back I was talking to a school administrator. He was having a decision to make. He had the payroll to meet, okay? And this was Friday or Thursday he was doing this, and he had to decide whether to pay the people on Friday or keep that money in the bank Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and pay them Monday. And, of course, he decided to pay them Monday. Why? That was the difference between, I mean, we're talking about a fairly big school district. We're talking about Tacoma, and which is a good-sized school district. And he would have had to fire three people to make up the difference for just what that 3 days in the bank interest got him. And so, but people were so upset because he didn't pay them on Friday instead of Monday. I mean, supposedly, I would hope, the teachers especially, who they don't make that bad of money, would be able to make their bills and pay their payments. And I don't know if any company that would be very, very horribly upset at 3 days late on a bill. And so here, these people were very upset because they were going to get their paychecks 3 days later than they thought would, than they thought they should. There was nothing in their contract or anything that said when it should be. They just thought that they should get it on Friday instead of on Monday. But that cost the school a huge amount of money if they did that. So,
well, here's another thing that's going to cost, too. And I'm continuing. It says here that unless you own a company that has over 50 employees, you do not have to insure your employees. If you exceed these amounts, you have to either insure your employees or pay a penalty. The penalty is $2,000 per employee and $3,000 if they use tax credits to purchase insurance on the exchange.
Well, you know, speaking of costing money, there are 30 million people who actually own private health insurance right now and are going to find out, well, I don't know if all 30 million of them, but some of them are going to find out that it doesn't meet minimum standards. And so, and the minimum standards, by the way, haven't been established yet. But at that time, 2012, they're going to find out they haven't met minimum standards, and they're going to have to buy something else different anyway.
Yeah.
So that could be a rather unpleasant experience to just all of a sudden find out you ain't doing it right.
And oh, like here too, employers with under 25 full-time employees whose average income does not exceed $50,000 can apply for tax credits up to 30% for insuring their employees. Now, I'm sorry. A tax credit is
free money.
No, well, it depends how you look at it. Well, a tax credit is just a credit off your gross income. It's not really money in your pocket per se, because you can only get so many credits.
I'm sorry, but it is money in your pockets, because it's money that you don't have to pay at tax time.
Yeah, but only a certain amount. I mean, there's a couple of years back that I didn't make that much money, but I had enough credits that I actually came down to where I didn't owe any taxes, and I had enough credits I could have gone further, but you can't go further than zero. So there's a cap on it. It's money that's not in your pocket right now. What I'm saying,
but I understand what you're saying too. There is a limit on it, because you can't pay. They're not going to pay you.
Right.
They're going to not take it from you, which is means it's money in your pocket. But on the same token, they're not going to give you any actual cash. I understand. It is. I feel it's money in your pocket. It's money you've got. But you're right. It won't. They won't pay you.
Well, I'll give you a prediction, because they tried this in Oregon, I can't even pronounce that county.
Multnomah.
Thank you. Anyways, they came up with this thing called the I-Tax, which is the individual tax that was only for that county only, and it got voted in by the voters, and it was supposed to kind of help the skills, which is always an endless pot of money. But it was supposed to help the schools. But anyways, it had to be filed separately from your W-2s and 1040 forms. Well, so the voters put it in, and when it came time to pay it, a lot of people got upset because they had to pay the extra tax. And then, of course, you know, people got, after the second year, the people were starting to get hate mails from the local government because they weren't paying the tax, and they finally decided to repeal it. Portland just came up with a similar system where they're charging $35 per head for anybody working over 18 for what they call an arts tax. The point that I'm going with that is that both are separate taxes outside of your normal W-2s and 1040s. And when they actually, I mean, in both cases, they got voted in saying, hey, this is really great. But until when people had to actually start paying it, then it became a whole different issue. That's what's going to happen here. When in 2014, when Obamacare starts kicking in full force and people are actually going to, what happened to my refund that I was expecting? Oh, well, you have the Affordable Health Care Act and you do not have qualifying insurance. So guess what you get to do?
Really?
And then you're going to hear a big uproar. And my prediction is that, especially since the IRS is behind it, that you think the recession is bad now, you know, realistically, like you and I live in the real world because we have to. We have to go earn our money. We don't get it, we don't have enough money for our project, so we're just going to force our customers, which is the taxpayers, to pay more. You know, we have to make ends meet.
Even if you got a business, you keep forcing your customers to pay more, and they're not going to be your customers for long.
Exactly.
There is a real world there that just the federal government doesn't have to even consider. And, you know, we have no choice but pay our taxes. We have no choice but be customers. And so the only choice we have is our voting choice. And that's something I'm going to say again right now. And I know it is coming up again very soon, because we've got the midterm people that a whole lot of people are going to be changed. There's a lot of senators and Republican representatives are going to change in this term. So we should get on off our dead ass and keep looking into who we're thinking about. So, you know, do some studying as to who is up for grabs, who's up for election, and find out who you want to vote for, because it's never too early, but it can be too late. And you're going to have to start to think about who you're going to vote for soon, because you're going to be surprised at how fast it sneaks up on you that you're going to have to vote. And let's do something. Let's get some people in here who think for a change.
That's right. And I also think that we should also keep track of the people that say, you need to pass the bill to know what's in it, or I don't have time. And remember those points. I don't have time to do my job. They should be fired.
Don't
put them back into office. Keep track of that. But instead, what people are going to do is, I've got football on. Oh, I got to go vote because that's a patriotic thing. Oh, looking at the ballot here. Let's see. Don't know him. Don't know him. I think I heard of him. So I'll have to go ahead and vote for him because that name sounds familiar.
You know, one of the things you should do, I think, is watch C-SPAN and watch how many times that the whole Senate floor is empty, that there's nobody in there voting. There's nobody in there passing these bills and doing their job. And we should do something about that because they're there for a reason. They're there because we hired them to do something.
Exactly.
They're not bothering.
We are paying them. We are paying for their trips. We're paying for their place to live when they're up there. We are paying them a salary. We are
paying them a hell of a lot more than I'm getting paid.
Yeah, and what are we
getting paid?
Most people, statistically speaking, most people that go in to the federal government, you know, Congress or whatever, high levels of government, if they don't go in there a millionaire, they come out of there a millionaire.
That's right, and then that's another thing we need to look into is find out how. I mean, if people would pay attention to what's going on around them, but we don't. We're still, you know, regardless, we can sit here and yell and scream and holler and jump up and down and complain about this and complain about that, but we're still happy. We're not so far off and not so bad off that we don't have enough to feed ourselves or to do this or do that. I mean, you can sit here and cry broke and how little money you have, but how many cell phones do you have in your pocket?
Personally, I have two.
That's all?
That's all.
Well, and how many do you need?
None.
That's right. And I don't even have a regular telephone. I just have the cell phone.
Well,
that's
I have a cell phone mainly because the and we're just about out of time here because we need to cut it short today because of other obligations. But I got rid of Quest because, for one, I had two phone lines. That was way back in the bulletin board days, and it cost $12.95 a phone line. And in fact, it still costs $12.95 a phone line for the second line. Then Quest added a $5 fee for the privilege of having a second phone line on top of the charge for having the phone line. And then the other taxes and fees that went along with it, my $24 telephone bill became over $60, and literally 55%, because I sat down and figured all this out, 55% of the phone bill went to taxes, fees, et cetera.
That's interesting because there are two places where we end up taxing, whether it be regardless of whether federal or state taxes, because everybody has one. One is a telephone, and the other one is for gas. And we tax them unbelievably. And both of them are going to go away. The world is changing very radically, and people are panicking because people are not buying telephones. They're not doing the telephones. They're not having a line. They're doing like you say. They're getting rid of the telephone line. And for that matter, the option is going to be there very soon to get rid of gas. They're going to have electric cars or this and that and the other that are taking place and that are happening right now. And so better be panicking. Better think about something new to tax, I guess. And they'll think of something.
Well, when they said that, well, they'll tax air, well, they've already figured out a way to do it. It's called carbon tax.
You mean for carbon-based people?
Yeah, for carbon-based life forms like you and me, actually.
I'm going to change my base. Somehow. Who knows how? I'm going to be I don't know what else I could be, but whatever. Anyway.
Well, Cliff is working to become like a silicon-based life form or whatever. We are going to call it a day here because we both have other obligations. One is I got off work and they want me to come back again. And since, you know, I have to pay the bills and save up money so I can catch up on my homeowners or property tax, because I'm so wealthy that I can afford Obamacare, even though I can't afford property tax. We'll be back next Saturday, 1 p.m. Pacific time again. Send us an email if you have an idea, if there's something in the news you want to talk about, or if you'd like to come on the program, you know, talk at krbnradio.com, and check us out again next week, Saturday, 1 p.m. Pacific.
You have a good day, everybody. Please.
Bye-bye.
If you don't, have a good day.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.